This evening, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Galatians. We want to continue our study through Galatians. And we're in the last portion of chapter 4. The Apostle Paul has been dealing with the whole concept of, do we turn back to the law, or do we realize the tremendous freedom that we've been given in Christ, and what does that freedom entail, and what does it mean to us as believers? He's drawing from an example that is found in the Old Testament tonight as we look at verses 21 through the end of the chapter. And he's dealing with from the life of Abraham. And the example that was given from Abraham's life in the Old Testament, when Abraham didn't walk in faith and had a child by Hagar, Ishmael, and then when he did rely on the Lord and look to the Lord to do that which seemed impossible, and the Lord gave him his child, son of promise, Isaac. Let's read verses 21 through 31 this evening. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondmaid was born after the flesh, but he that was a free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, this is Agar. And this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in the bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as them, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, that saith the Scripture, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand the truths that we look at this evening. Help us to apply these truths to our life. And Lord, help us to realize that it is so easy to fall back into a pattern of trying to do things in our own strength instead of relying upon your grace and mercy. Lord, may we learn from the Apostle Paul's example this evening. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees and called to go from everything that he was familiar with and to go by faith and the calling of the Lord into the land of Canaan. At the same time, God gave him additional promises as he was on the way, and we studied some of those in our Sunday school class on Sunday, the most being the unconditional covenant that the Lord made with Abraham concerning the fact that he was going to give him the land, not only the land, but he was going to give him an innumerable seed, number of children, or descendants rather, that would outnumber the sands of the sea. And at that time, Abraham had no children. Abraham waited and waited, and oftentimes, like we do, when we call on the Lord and the Lord impresses on us that we're supposed to do something, we're supposed to act and live a certain way, and we grow impatient. I don't know about you, but oftentimes I do. And that is a dangerous position to be in, because if God is telling us to wait and to trust in Him, and He will deliver in His time, we are to wait. And God will reveal to us the power that He possesses and how that His grace and mercy can be revealed to us. Well, Abraham was told that he was going to have a son of promise, but he's getting older, Sarah's getting older, and she's not having children, and she's barren. And the custom of the world at that time was that if you had a handmaid or there was another woman that was in the house, that woman could bear a child on behalf of the woman who couldn't bear a child, and then the child that the first woman bore would become the child of the second woman. And this is what Sarah went to Abraham with this proposal, because that's what the world did. If a woman was barren and she wanted a child, and they had a servant woman, the servant could bear a child, and the child would become the child of the wife of the husband. That was the world. It wasn't God. And the world always seems to have a solution for us that seems to be, well, that sounds kind of logical. I can't have a child. She can have a child. We'll do like the world says. So Sarah went with that proposal to Abraham. Abraham accepted the proposal and didn't think to call and ask on the Lord, what do you think of this? And God didn't think much of it because he had promised Abraham a son of promise. And this wasn't a son of promise. This was a son of the flesh, as we read in the text this evening. It was a son that was conjured up by a plan of Sarah and Abraham to align itself with a world custom that was in rebellion to God and not putting their faith and trust in the Lord. Now, why did Paul bring this example of this child that was really born out of an act of the flesh to compare that to the law? And then, if you remember the account later on, when it seemed even more impossible for Sarah to have a child because the scriptures tell us she was beyond the ability to bear children at that time. She was 90 years old and her body had stopped being able to bear a child. And Abraham also was 100, and so he was not able to really be the father of a child. And yet God said, I'm going to give you a child. And remember, when Sarah heard the Lord tell Abraham that, she laughed. Because how is that going to happen? Because she's looking at her body growing older, and she's saying, I don't believe it's going to happen. And the Lord said, why did you laugh? And the thing is, they named that child Isaac, which means laughter. And I think that was probably to remind them that God's promises are fulfilled even in spite of our doubts. Now, so Abraham and Sarah bore a child, and it was by the supernatural ability to bear that child given to them by God, because this child was the child of promise. It was to be the child through whom the line would come that would eventually lead to the Messiah, and the Messiah was to be the promise that had been given to the world to take away our sin. So that child in the account this evening is a child of grace, the child that is given by the promise of God. And so Paul is going to compare these two children. Hagar and her son are going to be compared to the law, and Sarah and her son are going to be compared to grace that is found in Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, let's take a look at how Paul deals with this and sharing with us. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? And he's saying, do you really understand what you want to be under, is what he's saying by that statement. Do you really hear what the law demands? And if you look at the law, there's over 600 commandments that were given that the people were to keep in perfect obedience. And if they could keep all 600 for every day of their life, for every second of every minute of every day, their whole life, they'd find pleasure with God. But God knows the sinfulness of our heart, and it's an impossible task. There's no way we can do it. We can't even keep the 10 commandments, let alone the 600 that are given in Scripture to the Jewish people. So there was a dilemma there. And so Paul addresses these people who want to go back under the law, who want to live according to their ability to earn favor with God and do what they perceive is right in the Lord's eyes, and somehow then they'll gain God's favor and gain heaven. He's saying, do you really understand what you're asking for? I'm going to give you this example, and you need to learn from this example what happened. Now, he goes on and he says, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. The bondmaid was Ishmael and the free woman was Isaac. Those were the sons. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he that was of the free woman was born of promise. And so we see that he's saying here, this is the difference between the law, which is attempting to do things to earn God's favor by the flesh, and living according to God's grace and accepting God's grace in our life and the power of God in our life, which is found through grace. And so he's saying, this is the example that I'm going to give you so that you can see more clearly this stark difference between the two and see where the two things lead. Okay, so then the first thing he says is, but he was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, and we know that. And then he was born after the freeman was born by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. So that's the first covenant that God made. That's the covenant that God made with Abraham when he came into the land of Canaan. Remember those who were in the Sunday school class on Sunday, and we saw that God had appeared to Abraham in a dream appeared to Abraham and told him to sacrifice the animals, split them, and to put them in rows, and then to kill two birds and put one bird on each side. And then he was going to make this promise to Abraham. And the covenant that he made was an unconditional covenant, because only the Lord walked through these animals. And these animals were given as a covenant, a sign of a covenant. That's what people would do in those days. But God only walked through the animals. He did not demand that Abraham walk through them. So this covenant was an unconditional covenant dealing with these things. It was totally reliant upon God. Well, the law came later. And the covenant that was given was a covenant dealing with the land, dealing with the people. And we see that the law came later. And the law really brought demands on Israel which they couldn't keep. For Hagar was Mount Sinai in Arabia, and this is where the law was given. And so the law came at Mount Sinai. And what had happened prior to Mount Sinai? Well, the nation of Israel had been created by God in Egypt, and Israel had come out of Egypt, but they'd lived in Egypt for 400 years. And the Lord needed to reveal to them His holiness, His righteousness, His character, and their need of a Redeemer. And so He came to Mount Sinai and He gave them the law in Moses at Mount Sinai. The name Hagar, from most people that know the language, the Egyptian language, means stone. And in a matter of fact, in the Arabic, Mount Sinai means stone. But as you come there, the fact is, this was Mount Sinai. Hagar was a symbol of Mount Sinai, and her son Ishmael was the child of the flesh. And so Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Now, so Hagar has to answer, or Mount Sinai has to answer to Jerusalem. Jerusalem doesn't answer to Mount Sinai. Jerusalem is a symbol of grace. And we know from Paul's writings in the book of Romans that the reason that the law was given to us was to be a schoolmaster or a teacher to reveal to us of our need for grace, of our need for a Redeemer, of our need and our understanding that we could never accomplish it in our flesh. But we needed to give our lives to the Lord. And remember, Jesus said that in order to find our lives, we must lose them. And what he meant by that is we must die to our old nature. We must die to ourselves that we may come alive to Christ and experience the new life that is found in him through grace. So we see the picture of Mount Sinai, which is the law and is really brought to us in attempting to do things by the flesh. And that has to answer to Jerusalem, and that's how we are set free from the bondage that's over here. We're set free by the grace that is found in Jerusalem. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, "Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband." And what he's saying here is that Sarah, who was the barren one and the desolate one, he says, don't be desolate because you shall bear more children than Hagar. Because why and how? Well, if you stop and look at the fact, the law was given to the nation of Israel. The law wasn't given to the world. And today, the Jewish people that don't know Jesus are still in bondage under the law. If you go to Israel, you'll find Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox Jews that try to adhere to the law today, and they can't keep it. And there's a real bondage there, and it binds them so much that they don't even want to acknowledge, and a lot of them don't even want to acknowledge the message of grace that is found in the prophets. Prophets like Isaiah and Isaiah 53, which speak of the coming Messiah that will deliver them. And they don't want to talk about grace because they're in bondage to the law and they're trying to keep it. But you know something? The law wasn't given to the whole world. The Gentiles weren't required to live under the law. Why was the law given to Israel in the first place? Well, the law was given to Israel so that ultimately they could be a light unto the world. And what they needed to be a light of wasn't the law. They weren't to go out and teach the world how to live under the law. But they were to come to a knowledge of the fact they couldn't keep the law. And that God was so gracious, He was sending this Redeemer that the law pointed to, and all the sacrificial system was pointing to Christ. All the law pointed to the need of a Messiah. And that they were then to look to the Messiah and receive the Messiah. And when Jesus came, they were to be the tool by which they could be the light to the world to point them to this Messiah. Well, they failed miserably because they stayed under the law. But the law was not given to the world. Instead, what did God give to not only the Jew, but also the Greek? He gave grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Paul says that the law produced a people, the Jewish people that God created as a nation. But the number of people that are saved by grace greatly outnumber those that were brought under the law by God that they might point people to grace. And so we see that today the church is made up of mainly Gentiles today. When the Gospels were written, it was mainly Jewish people, but it's many more. And so what he's saying here is, by this example, Sarah had many more descendants than Hagar. And the law has these people that are bound under it, but there are many more that have been set free, because that's set free every tribe, tongue, and nation that has heard the gospel has people that have come to salvation in Christ. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. So you and I are the children of promise if you love the Lord today. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Now this is interesting that Paul is saying this. Some of these things would ire up of the Jewish people that were trying to get the Christians to go back to Judaism. Because, first of all, Paul's saying, you know, the Christians are going to be much more greater because they're under grace. You can't experience grace. You're under the works of the law, your flesh. It doesn't lead anywhere. Now he comes and makes this statement on top of that, that the flesh persecuteth the one person who is saved by grace. And then we see that that's exactly true. That today, as it was then, he's coming to the Galatian churches, and he's saying, why do you want to go back under the law? Look who's persecuting you. It's not your fellow Christians. It's not those that have been saved by grace. They're not persecuting you. Who's persecuting you? Those who come against the salvation by grace. Those who are under the law. Those who are walking by the flesh. They persecute you. And today you see the same thing. The world walks by the flesh. It tries various ways, that even though they're not keeping the law of the Old Testament, the various religions in the world try to come to God through works. That's by the flesh. And you know something? The flesh always persecutes that which is grace. And Jesus said, as they persecuted me, so they will persecute you. As they hated me, so they will hate you. And that's exactly what the world does. You know, you just stop and look at what's happened in our world just recently. Churches declared unessential. Yet if you look at things, if there's a crisis in our life, and if there's a need, how do we meet that need? But we come to God and ask for His mercy, His grace, His help, and the thing that we needed most during all of this was the body of Christ in churches and to come together and to point people to Christ. Why didn't they want churches open? Why did they declare them unessential? Because they're at odds with the church and they want to get it out of the way. Well, the account that is seen here is when Isaac was getting older and all of a sudden Ishmael came and started ridiculing Isaac and just really picking on Isaac. And so Sarah said, told Abraham, you need to get them out of here. You need to get Ishmael and his mother out of here. Why? Because she says, he is not the child of promise. He is not the heir. And he will always ridicule your son, who is the child of promise and the heir. And so they were driven away. Now, was Ishmael the child of promise? No. Was he heir? No, he did not inherit from Abraham the things that Isaac inherited. And if you stop and look at, Abraham remarried Keturah later on when Sarah had died and he had other sons by her, but those weren't heirs, children that were the children of, that were heirs either. Isaac was the child of promise and the heir of the promise, not only the spiritual blessing, but also the heir of the physical blessings of Abraham as well. And Sarah was right in saying that he could not coexist with Ishmael because they couldn't both be heirs. Now, what does that mean to us? Guess what? Our flesh really shouldn't coexist with us when we become Christians. We need to set aside the flesh. We need to drive it away. We need to, because it really can't help us, and it will really be there to hinder us and get in our way at all times. When are the times that you stumble and fall as a Christian? It's when you yield to the flesh and you're not walking in the power of the Spirit and the grace of God. And so we need to understand what Paul is saying here. The flesh needs to be driven out and we need to walk in the promise of God's Word and in the Spirit of the Lord. And then we come to the last couple verses, and let's just take a look at what those say. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And so what he's telling the churches at Galatia, he started this paragraph with, why are you even thinking about going back under the law? And then he talks about these two, the bond woman and the son who was born of the flesh, and the free woman and the son born of the power of the Spirit and grace. And he says, you're the son of grace, not the son of the flesh. So why do you want to go back there, drive it away, and walk in the power of God's Spirit, seeking God to give you the strength to endure and calling on the name of the Lord, not trusting in your own abilities or your own flesh? Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand these and help us to walk with you. And Lord, may we look to you and seek to honor and glorify your name in all that you are doing in our lives and not try to accomplish it in our own strength. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you turn to 6